Hi, I'm Estate Planning Attorney Tom Doyle, and welcome to the podcast presentation of my Tuesdays with Tom teleseminar, Michigan's Medicaid Estate Recovery Law. For more information on the American Center for Estate Planning and the services that we provide, or other Tuesday with Tom teleseminar presentations, please visit us at www.acfep.com. Thank you, and enjoy the presentation.
Just want to thank everyone for joining us in tonight's Tuesday with Tom presentation on Michigan's Medicaid Estate Recovery Law. And just a reminder to everyone, too, that future Tuesday with Tom schedule is available at our website, which is www.acfep.com. You will also find information there on previous Tuesday with Tom teleseminars that are available as a podcast to either be downloaded and listened to on your computer or on your portable MP3 file device. But tonight's topic, Michigan's Estate Recovery Law. You might have heard it was back in September of 2007. We probably all recall when the government shut down for a day or for a couple hours one particular day. Well, it happened to be that very same time when the government was shut down at approximately 2 o'clock, 2:15 thereabouts in the morning that the governor signed Michigan's new estate recovery law. Some of us are a little bit curious as to why it happened at that time of the day when the government was supposed to be shut down, but that's when it was implemented. And Michigan ended up being the last state in the U.S. to adopt legislation requiring an estate recovery law. Basically, the feds had been insisting upon that. They had a directive out there since 1993. Michigan had been opposing doing that, and it finally got to the point that they decided they would have to do it or they risked losing their funding for Michigan's Medicaid program. Essentially, Medicaid is a federally funded program with a number of federal mandates, but it's basically state provided. So the feds provide the money with some guidelines that are general across the country, and then it's up to the individual states, including Michigan, to actually implement it with some procedures of their own. I guess, too, before we really talk too much about the estate recovery piece, a little bit of background on Medicaid itself. I think that makes the estate recovery piece seem a lot clearer. Medicaid, as you may or may not know, is essentially a program to pay what we think of as nursing home care, and in some cases actually in-home care if you qualify, but nursing home care for what are considered to be poor people. So the real question at the outset is, what does it take to qualify for Medicaid? What does the government consider to be poor? And essentially for a single person in the state of Michigan anyhow, to be poor, you can have a house that's in your name that has up to $500,000 in equity in your home. You can have $2,000 in the bank. You can have a prepaid funeral plan. You can have a car. That's essentially what a single person can have in the state of Michigan to qualify for Medicaid. A married couple essentially can have those same things. The government treats a married couple as one, even if there's one in the nursing home and one outside of the nursing home. In addition, the community spouse, that's the one who's not in the nursing home, can have, in round numbers, roughly $90,000 in additional assets beyond the home that we talked about and the car and the prepaid funeral plan and the $2,000. There are some planning strategies, though, for clients where, in many cases, assets even beyond that can oftentimes be protected for the spouse who's not in the nursing home. There's certain strategies that can be used for that. But that, in a nutshell, is a way that Medicaid is structured. Now, in the past, before we had this new estate recovery law, when someone passed away, we never worried about the state of Michigan coming in and trying to recover from that person's estate for any of the money that was spent for their care, because we didn't have a provision for doing that. This new estate recovery law, the underlying purpose of the law, is now the state of Michigan is required, when someone has been on Medicaid and they pass away, the state of Michigan is now required to pursue recovering the cost that the state of Michigan has paid for that individual's nursing home care. So, for example, if we've got the state of Michigan paying a year's worth of nursing home care for somebody that's in a nursing home as a Medicaid benefit, let's say they've paid $60,000, $65,000 in that ballpark, when that person passes away, now the state of Michigan is required to look at that person's estate to recover that money. Obviously, then, the implementation or the enactment of the estate recovery law really requires everyone to sit back now and look at, from an estate planning standpoint, what can we do, if anything, through our estate plans to avoid or minimize the possibility that the state of Michigan, after death, is going to be able to come back after the estate to recover their law. First, who does it apply to? The new estate recovery law only applies to somebody, again, this is in Michigan, who qualifies for Medicaid after September 30th, 2007. Somebody who had already been on Medicaid before that date basically gets grandfathered in, and so the law doesn't apply for them. So it's only those individuals who are qualifying for Medicaid after September 30th, 2007. That's who we're particularly concerned with. What in particular is it that the government would try and recover the cost of? Basically, it is medical expenses that have been paid by the state pursuant to Michigan's Medicaid law without interest. So they don't get to tack on interest to the total amount that was paid. If they paid $60,000, they can try and come after an estate for that $60,000. They don't get to add interest on top of that to increase that particular amount. The important factor in Michigan relative to the estate recovery law is, what is it that the estate can actually go after to try and recover their money? Essentially, under the statute, the only thing that the state can go after are probate assets. So it is only those assets that the individual owned that are subject to going through probate court at the time of their death that are going to be subject to or at risk for the state of Michigan attempting to recover from them. Essentially, that what means is there are certain assets that are not going to be subject to the estate recovery law. Those would be things like assets with beneficiary designations. If that individual has a bank account and they've got their $2,000 in that bank account and they have a beneficiary designation on that account, since the asset doesn't go through probate, state of Michigan can't go after that asset. Assets that have jointly owned with somebody else with rights of survivorship, for example, real estate that would be jointly owned with rights of survivorship, that's not going to be a probate asset. So that's not an asset that's going to be subject to the estate recovery. Assets that might have transfer on death or payable on death designations. Additionally, some sort of a life estate in real estate. All examples of assets that would not be subject to the estate recovery law because they're not going to pass through probate. Another area would certainly be an individual that has a revocable living trust. The assets that are inside that revocable living trust are not going to go through probate, and so they would also not be subject to that estate recovery law. So when you look at it on its face, avoiding probate now becomes an important consideration to avoid Michigan's estate recovery law. That's one more reason now that when we're looking at our estates or looking at our clients' estates, we start looking and saying, in the past we had a number of other reasons that we might have talked about. It might have been the cost of probate, or it might have been the delay of probate, or it might have been giving up privacy, all of those kinds of things that are sometimes reasons that people look at avoiding probate. Now we have one more reason, really, to look at avoiding probate, and that is to make sure that an estate is properly structured so that we avoid the possibility of the state of Michigan coming in after death and attempting to recover the estate. And when you look at what you can have to qualify for Medicaid for that person who's in that nursing home, again, their major asset that they can have is that home that has $500,000 in equity in it. And so that becomes an important asset for them that with appropriate estate planning, we can put in a position where it's not going to be subject to this new estate recovery law. Essentially, we will look at things like ladybird deeds for real estate. A ladybird deed for real estate in the state of Michigan is essentially a transfer on death type deed. The real estate is still in the individual's name. It needs to be in the individual's name in order for it to be an exempt asset for Medicaid. And what I mean by that is if the individual has a living trust, as an example, and their living trust owns their real estate, when that person applies for Medicaid, that real estate is not an exempt asset unless it's taken out of the trust and put back in their own name. Once you do that, now the home is an exempt asset up to $500,000 because it's in the individual's own name. But now the problem is, from an estate recovery standpoint, it's subject to going through probate. So what you end up doing is taking the home out of the trust, putting it back into the individual's name, and then having a ladybird deed prepared, which basically puts the home back in the trust automatically when the individual passes away. That way, it avoids going through probate, it avoids being subject to the estate recovery law, and it ends up back in the trust at the time of the person's passing. It used to be pretty common, still is pretty common with many attorneys, when a living trust is created, for example, that a deed is prepared, a quitclaim deed is oftentimes prepared, transferring that home into that trust. Oftentimes that deed is recorded at that point in time. What most of us are now doing is, alternative to that, we're actually just preparing the ladybird deed up front. So when we prepare the trust, we prepare the ladybird deed up front. That way the client would still qualify the home as being an exempt asset for Medicaid purposes, and upon their death it would automatically then be owned by their trust, and then we avoid the possible estate recovery law coming into play relative to that asset. Bank accounts, again, jointly owning bank accounts. We look at that bank account that the individual in the nursing home can have $2,000. If we have that bank account jointly owned with somebody else, then that asset is going to pass to that other individual at the time of death. The situation with cars, and there is some exempt personal property, has to be looked at a little bit differently anyhow to see what can be done with those particular assets. And so that's subject to some further discussion, I guess, with whatever lawyer one is working with in trying to put that plan into place entirely. Obviously, we could have a vehicle that's jointly owned with a spouse. It would not be subject to going through probate. It would automatically be owned by that spouse at the time of death. When you look at all of that, what doesn't work is a will. A will is not enough in order to avoid estate recovery, because a will only becomes effective when an estate goes through probate. So it's another reason we need to look at strategies beyond a will, and obviously in addition to ladybird deeds, jointly owned bank accounts, all those, there is available still the tool that is a primary tool that we've been using all along to avoid probate, which is, in fact, the living trust. By having that living trust created as a tool to avoid probate. Now, some of the issues you also sometimes will get involved in these cases is if somebody has too much money to qualify for Medicaid, then we're into different questions about can we spend it down, what can we do with the assets in order to get them to the point they're going to qualify. that's really subject to a different conversation and a different teleseminar. We'll actually have one in the future where we'll really get more in depth on what you can do on planning your estate for Medicaid itself. But tonight, trying to limit ourselves for the time in the particular Medicaid recovery law itself. Now, even without having done any of that planning, the estate recovery law itself has certain exceptions in it, and in particular relative to a house. So a house that would otherwise go through probate is not going to be subject to estate recovery if there are certain people who occupy the home. If the home is occupied by a spouse, then the law does not allow the state to go after that home if it's occupied by a spouse. The state cannot go after the home if it's occupied by a child of the Medicaid beneficiary who's under 21 or is blind or disabled. In that event, again, the state cannot go after the house to recover that. There's also a provision under the statute that if the house is occupied by a caregiver relative, that would be somebody who was providing care for 2 years before the person went into the nursing home, in that case, the house isn't subject to estate recovery as well. For example, in that case might be where you've got a child taking care of the parent, is the caregiver for 2 years before the parent goes into the nursing home. If that child continues to occupy the home, the state during that time it's being occupied also can't attempt to recover the home at that point in time. Finally, if the house is occupied by a sibling of the beneficiary, this would be the Medicaid beneficiary who's in the nursing home, if they're a joint owner and they lived in the home for at least a year before they're institutionalized, in that case, the house isn't subject to estate recovery either. So there are a few situations where even if someone happened not to do any planning, that home might not be subject to estate recovery right away. But, for example, take that example where the home is in the name of the individual who's in the nursing home, spouse is outside in the nursing home living in the house. When that spouse passes away, now that asset might well be subject to Michigan's estate recovery law. So relying upon those exemptions really isn't the best device in putting together an estate plan to avoid recovery. Really taking affirmative steps to do other things that we've already talked about isn't a more appropriate step. But there are some default provisions designed within the statute that are really intended to try and protect the home in the event that somebody isn't doing appropriate planning. The other protection, if you will, for the homestead, and again, that's all we're really talking about is the home that the person is living in, is that the only portion or value of that home that the state can go after is to the extent that it exceeds 50% of the average price of a homestead in the county where it's located. Meaning, in normal situations, the state, if the only asset that is going through probate is the home, is not going to be able to take the entire home, even if the home had to go through probate, even if as a consequence of that the home had to be sold, the state can't get the entire value of the home. They can only get that portion of the value of the home that exceeds 50% of the average price of a homestead in the county where the home is located. So it does give, again, some protection even to the heirs where a home is going through probate, because they can't get the entire home. But obviously, as indicated a little while ago, you can protect 100% of the value of the home by taking some of these other actions with a ladybird deed in conjunction with the trust, so that now 100% of the home can avoid being subject to the estate recovery law. There are a couple other exceptions under the statute relative to assets in particular that are important. There can't be any recovery against probate assets that are the primary income-producing asset of the survivors. That basically would include, for example, a family farm or a family business. So if the farm that we're dealing with happens to be a family farm supporting the family, the state can't go after the family farm for purposes of recovering the assets. Or if there was a business that was being as part of that property, we can't go after that as well. So there are some protections built into the statute to allow even certain assets that might otherwise go through probate to be exempt from the estate recovery. But again, for the reasons already stated, avoiding probate in the first place is really the first step in a better plan to do that. Now, something else that needs to be mentioned is when the state of Michigan adopted the estate recovery law, essentially what the statute says is that the state of Michigan has to create rules and regulations now to implement it. The legislature created the statute, but it didn't create all the rules and regulations that are going to be used to implement the actual, how do we go about doing this, when is the government, under what circumstances, what's the procedure going to be for attempting to recover from somebody's estate. They didn't work that out as part of the statute. They left it up to particular departments within the state of Michigan to generate those rules. And the rules that get generated before they can actually be utilized have to be approved by the federal government. So the concept is the state of Michigan legislature said, we've got a new estate recovery law. It's going to apply to everybody who qualifies for Medicaid after that date in September. But we're actually ordering the state of Michigan appropriate departments to create the rules that will be used to implement the law. Those rules have to be submitted to the federal government, appropriate agencies at the federal government. And so none of this becomes effective. While the statute's effective, none of it's really being implemented until the state of Michigan has generated the rules and until those rules have been submitted to and approved by the federal government. What's happened since September of 07, when the statutes come into play, is appropriate departments within the state have been working on creating the rules. The last information that I saw on that is they actually had submitted initial draft of the rules to the federal government, appropriate departments in the federal government, and last I had heard, the feds had not yet approved those rules. So as we sit here today, sometime obviously after September of 07, we've got a statute, we've got concerns about estate recovery, but the state of Michigan hasn't even figured out its procedures yet on how it's actually going to go about doing that. That doesn't mean that we don't have to worry about it. That doesn't mean that in working with our clients or working in our estates, we shouldn't be mindful of it. And it doesn't mean that we can't be doing the things that we could otherwise be doing. Take, for example, a ladybird deed with a living trust. If you're going to have a living trust avoid probate anyhow, and you're going to be putting your home inside the living trust anyhow, then the easy answer is have a ladybird do that rather than the traditional quitclaim deed that puts it in immediately, so that you are in a position now that when the rules do get implemented and the state figures out what it's going to do, you don't have to worry about changing things at that time. In fact, in my practice, a lot of clients that we had prepared living trusts for in the past have actually gone forward with replacing the previous quitclaim deeds that had already been done with a ladybird deed so that they don't even have to worry about when the rules do get implemented. Because one thing that can't happen under the legislation, the rules that do get implemented cannot change the fact that the only thing the state can go after are those assets that go through probate. So when the government figures out its rules and procedures, they can't, for example, say, well, we don't care what the statute says. We will now come after your home, even if it avoids probate through a ladybird deed, that sort of situation. They don't have that option to do that. The statute's very clear. They can only go after assets that go through probate, and it's simply a matter of what's going to be the procedure for the state to be going after those assets. It appears, too, from the legislation that the state is not going to be able to put a lien against somebody's home, as in some states. Different states have different Medicaid estate recovery statutes, and some of the states actually allow a lien to be placed against the home, similar, if you think about it, to a mortgage or something, so that one day when that home is sold at some point in time in the future, those states will get their money. Michigan's not providing for that. It's simply assets as they're going through probate is what we're looking at doing. Again, if we look at now the spouse, let's say we've got a spouse who is in the nursing home, and we've got the community spouse, that is the spouse who's not in the nursing home, it still becomes very important for that spouse who's not in the nursing home to, again, have an estate in place that is certainly not going to have their estate going to the spouse who's in the nursing home, and an estate, again, that's going to be avoiding probate in that process. So, again, looking at the standard revocable living trust as an estate planning tool for the spouse who's not in the nursing home, going to be an important consideration for that spouse as well. Now, the way that the statute suggests, because what there were some other amendments that were made to some provisions in the probate code, when we look at an estate that goes through probate, there are certain claims. There's an order of claims to be paid out of a probate estate. So if you look at a normal probate estate, cost of administration of probating the estate are the first things that get paid out of an estate. Then after that are funeral and burial expenses. After that are certain what we call allowances in the state of Michigan, certain amounts of money that might be payable to a spouse or possibly children by virtue of statute. That order of priority still is that order of priority, and the state of Michigan basically comes after all of those things. So even in a case where the state of Michigan will be coming in trying to recover from an estate, cost of administration is going to come off the top. After that, funeral and burial is going to be paid. After that, these various family allowances, exempt property allowances, homestead allowances, et cetera, which round out currently in the area of $50,000 as it's currently structured. It would be after those things are paid that the state of Michigan would be in line to be receiving their money. So if we had an estate that didn't have significant assets in it, the assets might actually be distributed or used up on the expense of administration, funeral and burial, and these allowances. And if there aren't enough assets after that to cover the estate recovery, the state of Michigan is going to be losing out in that respect too. And then it would be after the estate recovery law, or after the estate recovery is paid for, that then the ultimate residue of the estate would be distributed out to the children or to whomever the estate is supposed to go. So we do have an order of priority. It did not give the state of Michigan top billing in that order of priority. There are certain things that are going to have to be paid before the state of Michigan is going to be able to come and make a claim for their benefit. Some folks get confused, I guess, when we talk to them about the estate recovery law with the $500,000 homestead equity cap, if you will, relative to qualifying for Medicaid in the first place. That $500,000 homestead equity is really, you can have $500,000 in equity in your home and still qualify for Medicaid, but that $500,000 doesn't mean that your family would get to keep the $500,000 at the time of your death. That simply has to do with what you can have in order to qualify for Medicaid, whereas the estate recovery would be looking at, again, to the extent that the home exceeds 50% of the median value of a home in the county, is what the state's going to be able to go after. So they're really two different numbers that we have to make sure that we're keeping clear. Again, with all of that having been said, it is the important thought or important to remember today that now we really have another reason that we and our clients need to look at. Do we want an estate that's going to avoid probate? Because by avoiding probate, we're also avoiding the estate recovery law. We simply have to structure things properly. So not only are we avoiding probate on the one hand, but we're still qualifying assets, in particular the home, as an exempt asset when someone goes out and applies for Medicaid itself. So that is a summary, if you will, of where we stand here today. We have a statute. We know what the statute says it applies to. We know what strategies we can utilize to avoid assets being subject to the estate recovery law. We just don't know at this point in time because the state hasn't figured out how they're actually going to go about on a case-by-case basis and really trying to initiate some actions for recovering